Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities who are part of the Association for Children with a Disability.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children, people. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Kate.
Here we are.
Yes.
Recording in the daytime.
Yes. Principal Hose and Principal Jones.
Yeah, well, I'm just year level coordinator.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. I am the principal.
Yep. Yep.
And I was a canteen lady today. I made the cheesy mite scrolls without the Vegemite.
Yeah. Just the cheesy scroll.
Yeah, cheesy scroll.
And we've had a vicious cold snap in the southeast of Australia. It's very cold.
We're back in our hoodies. It's like 2019.
It is. Hoodies are back.
Yeah. When we first started recording the podcast, we were freezing.
We were freezing, but we were doing it at night. But now, thanks to this global pandemic, we can actually do it after school during the day. So, anyway, hello, peas. Welcome to any new listeners.
Yes.
We just wanted to say hello and welcome.
Because we usually do that at the end.
We do. And I thought maybe we should do it at the beginning.
It's a nice thing.
Because maybe they don't listen all the way to the
end.
But hello, stay listening. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Because we've got a really interesting person to chat to today.
Yes.
So today we are going to be chatting to a friend of ours who we've never met but is definitely a friend.
Yes.
Called Karen. Hello, Karen.
Hello. How are you?
We are all good.
Yes. We're excited to have you on today.
We really are.
It is great to be here.
So we will get to why Karen is on our podcast, but first of all, she has to answer the 3P questions.
That's right.
So our first question that we ask our peas is there a song or a band or a piece of music that gets you either through bad times or that you listen to when you're happy?
You know what? I actually quite like some silence. I live with two teenagers and I listen to their music quite a lot and it's not my favourite. And you know what? Just a little bit of peace and quiet. Oh, that's just the best.
Yes.
That's true sometimes.
It's the reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels weird though to me when there's absolutely no noise.
It's actually a worry, isn't it? When there's no noise.
Yeah. And you're like, why is everything so quiet? What's going on?
I'm just thinking about the Dami Im song from Eurovision, The Sound of Silence.
Oh.
Yes. It's just coming to my mind.
So, yeah, it is nice to have a bit of silence. That's a good answer. Acceptable answer.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Especially when you may have little pea shoots running around.
That's right. There's no right or wrong.
No right or wrong.
No.
No. Okay. So.
Oh, I was going to ask. Okay. Yeah. So, Karen, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, I did win the debating prize.
Excellent. And what was that prize?
What did we get? Maybe we got a book, and you got to stand up at assembly.
Yeah.
But it is probably good for my job. I think that kind of set me up.
Yes, I think agree. Very good for your job.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an award that actually was because of an ability that you had, not just a token award.
That's right.
No, but some friends did give me a soapbox for my 21st. Oh. And I think that's awesome. Bit of an indicator.
Maybe. What a great present. Oh, they know you. That's beautiful. Awesome.
So that leads very beautifully onto why are you a P or a P friend, Karen?
So I am a P because I have two teenage boys. My eldest son, who's 15, has an intellectual disability. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also I kind of relate to the two Ps because while they are a year apart, they arrived as a pair in foster care with us when they were toddlers.
Right. Wow. I've got chills down my back. What a beautiful story.
So they arrived with little cardboard crowns on. Oh. And so we went from zero to two very quickly.
Wow, you sure did.
That is basically getting multiples, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I've always kind of, you know, identified with that twin experience.
Yes.
Yes. So how old were they?
They were not quite one and two.
Oh boy. Wow. You were like, wham, we're in.
They're there.
Straight to toddlers.
We're not laughing at you. We're laughing in shock.
Yeah.
If that was now quite some time ago, I've recovered.
Oh, what a woman.
Wow, good for you. I don't know if I ever recovered from having toddler twins.
Yeah. And so they've been with you that whole time. Then did you adopt them or what does that look like?
Yeah, so here in Victoria there's something called permanent care, which is where you become the permanent family. So that's what we are.
Ah, yeah. Right. Oh, that is beautiful.
Oh, how great. And so for our listeners, what is your job?
Oh, yes, that's right. My professional job as well. So I am the CEO of the Association for Children with Disability.
Oh, and how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, I've been here around 18 months, but the organisation is 40 this year.
Yes.
And, you know, I think 40s is a good year.
Yes. You should have a big 40th if you weren't in lockdown.
In pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. We had some plans. We're changing them.
Oh, yes. That's everybody's story at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, we're changing plans.
Were you a member of the association before you started working there? How did you know about it?
Yeah, look, I had been and receiving their, you know, their newsletters and their information and just finding that really helpful. And then I saw the job and I went, oh, ooh, I think I can give that a really good go.
Oh.
So it's a privilege to have this job.
Oh.
Like, it's leading a great team of people. And we talk about that the driving force of our organisation is our love for our families, and I think, you know, that's what it is all about.
Yes, yes.
And so for some of our listeners who maybe identify as rectums, can you tell us what your association does?
Yeah, absolutely. So in short, we advocate for children with disability, and we do that in a number of ways. So we've kind of got our sort of our four pillars of how we work. The first is to provide information. I mean, while there is so much information out there, it's a bit of information overload. Mm. We try and make it really child-focused, really accessible, nothing longer than two pages.
Yeah.
And to just keep it up, whether it's on our website or through our Facebook, so that people have just the latest information that they need for their child and family. We then have a great support line. So this is a service where you can just ring when you have got an issue that your child is facing or you as a family are facing. And our amazing team just help people perhaps identify, okay, often it feels like there's loads of issues. So sometimes it's good to kind of prioritise and identify what is the key one.
Yes.
And then what are the ways of addressing that and resolving that? So many of the issues relate to school. Or relate to the NDIS.
Yes.
And how to kind of, what are the next steps? What's the next step to raise it, to try and get it resolved, to have a review, all those types of things. And just to kind of walk side by side with people as they're doing that, and be that sort of touch point and just build their capacity to do that. We also run about 100 workshops across Victoria each year.
Wow.
One of our most popular is advocating for your child at school.
Yes.
Funny that.
Very funny.
But some of that is about building confidence, you know, our confidence as families, how to raise issues and what actually you can ask for and what should be happening. And so I think that's, they're just really important ways of families kind of connecting with others and building their skills. And then all of that work means we're connecting with thousands of families across Victoria and we just hear, you know, what really is happening. And I then take that information and we do what is, I guess, systemic advocacy, trying to change systems. I meet with MPs, I meet with bureaucrats, I write, you know, responses to sort of inquiries that the NDIS is doing or government is doing, and just really always try and say, this is what families are experiencing and this is what some of our recommendations are.
Oh, that's just, huge round of applause.
Yes, I was about to clap.
It's a massive role.
Yeah.
It's a team effort and that's what makes it work. Yeah, absolutely.
So how many of you are there?
So there's 16 in our team. Everybody's part-time. So we've got a little office just in Surrey Hills. We share a space with Epilepsy Foundation. But we really do work across the whole state and spread out as wide as possible.
Yep. Fair enough. And I know a few of our peers have said, we were having this huge issue at school and we just didn't know what to do. And then we rang ACD and we got answers and advocacy. So they've been in tears telling us how amazing it is. So you must get parents on both ends of that spectrum, like so frantic and then so relieved once help's been given.
Look, absolutely. I think a lot of what people say is, someone just understood.
Yeah.
Understood the circumstance my family's in and really listened and empathised and then gave some practical steps. Let's try this. Let's make this the first step you take. And I think we do. We just get a lot of families saying to us that was so helpful.
Well, isn't that really powerful when you can offer someone in distress some ease of mind?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can't always fix it, and often there's not a quick fix. But I think sometimes even just to acknowledge, yes, there's an issue, and we're going to work with you to try and help something change.
Yeah. I think Mandy and I were saying, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, on one of our episodes about because currently in the state of Victoria, well, in the whole world, there's a corona pandemic and our children aren't currently at school. So other states are gradually going back. Maybe by the time this comes out next Thursday, there'll be something different, but I don't think so. I think we'll still be at home. And so we were saying how for children who have funded aids or are at private schools and get some sort of aid funding, they're getting nothing and not even a phone call. So that whole I hear you thing, I think can't be
happening.
Yeah, people just need someone to say, look, we're really sorry that your aid isn't with you today, but here's a phone call. So, I'm assuming that just you taking the phone call from people,
it's
even
good
if
enough.
You can't help them, sometimes it's so powerful to be listened to.
I think it is really powerful. I think it's also powerful to hear that it's okay to ask for these things. Some of these things we're in such a difficult circumstance right now. And as you say, for those students all learning from home here in Victoria, so challenging.
How did you feel when that all came about as a CEO and also as a mummy? How did you feel?
I think when we first went on to school holidays, it was a relief.
Yes.
Thank goodness we're at school holidays, all at home.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
I think when the announcement came that it was going to be learning from home for the whole of term two, and Victoria is the only state that's announced that, July is like the moon. It's a long time away.
It really is like the moon.
And we know the families for whom that is just going to be so difficult. And so we have just been, this is this is the issue we are speaking up about all the time. I am speaking to politicians about this every week. My son working very closely with AMAZE, which is sort of the peak body for autism here in Victoria, which is such a great organisation. We're meeting weekly with senior sort of bureaucrats and leaders in the education department, and at times that does feel like, well, we know, you know, I don't have things to report to sort of say this is what's going to happen, but we are absolutely speaking up and sometimes just trying to raise some practical options, like what about some staggered attendance?
Yes.
What about if siblings can go to school, that we need to have some options that do take into account social distancing. That's what we're all in, but how can we just make it a little more manageable for families?
That brings tears to my eyes, and I just want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it is what when we hear the stories from families, that's what gives us that energy and the impetus just to keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
It's
so important.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it is impossible. Remote learning is probably impossible even when you're neurotypical, unless you're very focused and you understand everything that the teacher or Google Classroom is telling you. So we acknowledge that for everybody. This is a really tough term, really tough. And then, you know, it's just like saying, oh, well, you know, that's a little molehill that parents are having to climb. And then when you add additional needs and disabilities, it's Mount Everest, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, well beyond anything we were ever prepared for. It wasn't like in January someone said, oh, come April, you might have to be educating your child at home. So we're going to put all these things into – no. We just all, and I get we all are in it together. I do get that.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why there hasn't been even just, you know, someone saying, we understand this is really hard. A politician. That's all. Just saying this is really hard. And
that would have meant the world to me
if
someone said that from a politician. That would have meant so much. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have raised that directly.
I bet you have.
because I agree. I think it does just go a little way to feeling like, okay, we're not forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because lots of people have had very deserved shout-outs, like frontline workers, teachers who are trying to manage this really impossible situation, trying to teach from their bedrooms. You know, it's really hard. So I don't see why there can't be a little...
Shout out to the carers.
To the carers and parents of children that are vulnerable or have a disability.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we definitely give that shout out because we can see them and hear them and know what that situation is and are living it ourselves.
Yes.
And so, that's a really core part of our organisation. So many of us are parents or siblings with children with disability and so really, it's very close to our heart.
How are you managing as principal and CEO? That's a very big job.
It's a big job.
I like to think of myself as deputy principal, actually.
Fair enough. Yep.
It's tricky. I certainly, one of my kids is pretty engaging with the learning that they're doing, and their high school's doing some. I feel like they're doing a pretty impressive job.
Yeah.
They're running like a Zoom class at the start of every class.
Yes.
Which means you're not, you know, as a parent, you're not the ones going, are you on to maths now? Like,
yes.
She's kind of, you know, we're on to maths now.
Yep.
My other P is probably much less engaged.
Yes.
And we're just kind of going with that for the moment.
Yes.
We're going for overall well-being.
Yes, I've chosen that too. But I've been super impressed with my beautiful daughter with the intellectual disabilities school. They've tried real. They're doing a great job. And just to see her this morning click into her own Zoom by herself, I'm very proud of her. And I was just sitting there thinking, I'm going to cry. I'm so proud of her for joining Zoom.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'm thinking, I'm not ever saying that about her other siblings. But that's kind of how it feels when you think that something is so impossible and then they give you a little glimmer of that they can do some of these things.
Yeah.
Look, and I've heard that from families about telehealth, you know, feeling like, oh, doing speech therapy by Zoom or OT, that's just not going to work. And one of my colleagues just said, actually, I learned quite a few Zoom features from my
son.
He was onto it and actually, you know, really participated and was quite excited to show the speech therapist, oh, this is something I've got displayed in my bedroom. Let me take it.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be little wins like that that are actually, that are positive and, and good for our kids. Yeah.
And I was talking, so my daughter's a pediatric OT and she was, she's got all the Zoom stuff set up in the study and she's doing all her consults. It's funny when you walk past and you see her dancing or whatever, trying to engage children. But she said often she'll see siblings off to the side and she's like, I can tell they're really jealous. Like, because she'll say to the mum, oh, let's make a Play-Doh hedgehog today or whatever. And so the kids are having a great time and she's making it and they're making the, all the other siblings, how come I don't get to do this?
Yeah, fair enough.
So she said it's nice for them to be the ones that are getting the attention and the others are missing out. Not that anyone wants to miss out, but, you know, like.
They're made to feel special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said it's, whilst extremely challenging, it also has been really nice.
And I think, I actually think for some families, they will kind of go, you know what, I want to continue some of the telehealth options.
Of course, but, if you're in the country, it's life-changing. You don't have to drive for 4 hours to get to the Royal Children's or something just for someone to say, you need to keep going with this physio exercise. You know?
Yeah.
Like I've got friends that live in the country, they get up at 4 a.m. to drive down to the Children's for appointments in the morning. You know,
or
if
even
that stuff can change.
If your house is really busy or you're having a time where you've got too much sensory overload and then you can just do it at home.
Yes.
How amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there will be some things like that. You think actually some of this is going to make a few little things easier in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely learned a lot from it. And I was saying to Mandy before, what I've really learned is how hard it is. Like we're interviewing you now, but we can't see you. And how many cues I take from being with people all the time. And then we've dropped our kids, some of whom have additional needs or disabilities, into classrooms where they can't see all their friends. Their friends are little tiny circles down the bottom of a screen. They can't read the social cues. And I'm just aware of how much they have to work to fit in.
Yeah.
And how hard it is for me. Like I would much rather if you were here in the pod bar with us and we could, you know, gauge off you like that. And I'm aware that even though our kids have done amazing work with this, but how hard it is for them. Like we've had a lot of tears, a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people and I think, you know, for children and depending on their ages, their understanding of what's happening and for little children just that sort of not understanding why they can't go to school or see grandparents.
Mm.
But for teenagers, bigger questions about, well, what does this mean? And really, how long is this going to go on? I mean, they're big questions to be worrying about.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think
we don't know either.
One of my boys is very germ conscious and so he's like, well, what's going to happen when we go back? Like is someone going to guarantee that everything's going to be clean? And like that anxiety he's already taking on for something that's not even happening yet.
Mm.
So I think this whole pandemic has really brought out additional parenting skills that we didn't know that we needed.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to get him some cleaning rolls at home.
True.
Put that focus to good use.
Your house will be clean in no time. I was just thinking about the families that are different to Kate and mine that have children with severe disabilities and how do you think they're managing at this time? Or do you know?
Look, we have spoken to so many of those families and I think in some ways the best way to describe it is it really does depend on each of the families. I think some are like, you know what, we're hunkered down.
Yeah.
We're hunkered down, we're okay.
Yep.
We're getting the food deliveries from the supermarket because we've got an NDIS plan and we've prioritised for that.
Yes.
Some have decided not to have support workers come into the home, they're just decided no.
Yep.
Others are, of course, just absolutely, their children are so distressed. And I think probably that's often the factor that makes the difference. I think if you've got a child that's kind of like, okay, I'm home and it's a safe, fun place and my parents are here and they're okay.
Yes.
But I think if you've got a child who's just really distressed and, you know, wanting to see grandparents, wanting to go to school, not understanding why they can't, and that the behaviour's getting just more and more challenging.
Yes.
They're the ones at home. It is just such a, just such a long time. And look, there is some flexibility about NDIS plans and what you can do with them, but I mean, the NDIS, I always refer to it, it's like life admin on steroids.
Yes, oh my word.
Organizing Christmas.
Yes.
So, yes, there is some flexibility to perhaps change a child's plan around, get some support workers in, but, you know, you as the family have got to take all those steps to make that happen. That is a lot of work to do.
It is, and a lot of those parents are working or trying to work.
Trying to, absolutely. Such, I'm not too sure how some people do that, absolutely.
No.
That is a real struggle. And I think some people are thinking, but I'm going to have to quit my job because I need to go. And, you know, what a position to be in to have to make that decision.
The ultimate unfairness as a P family.
Yeah.
Because
you've probably already found a job
that is flexible.
That's flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've had a couple of friends of mine whose children have disabilities or additional needs on the phone, probably one a day, crying, just going, I can't do it today. Today I can't do it and I don't know when this is going to end. And I just think that's a tiny tip of the iceberg of the people that I know, you know. And even my friends whose children maybe just have mild dyslexia have just realised how hard it is to do all your work while looking at a screen, then trying to write something down quickly, then not be able to go back and ask the teacher. So I think it's really shone a spotlight in some ways on how unfair the classroom is, because the parents can see it.
Yes.
And I don't mean teachers. We have heaps of respect for teachers. I mean the actual whole system.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's been...
And is that's a big... part of your role is going into or speaking to schools, Karen. Tell us about what that's like.
Yeah, so I tend to speak directly with the education department. The bureaucrats there and be really clear about these are the system issues and that things like that sort of tailoring of learning activities to students with disability, I think often in the classroom it happens a little bit on the fly. Like the teacher does that great classroom teaching and engaging, then sort of sets everyone off doing their learning activities and then sort of goes, oh, heck, better come up with something for, you know, this issue.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yep.
And actually it needs a little more, you know, thought and preparation than that. And, you know, which does always come down to time and resourcing and, you know, again, we don't criticise individual teachers and there are so many.
No. Of course not. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But to be able to do that, you do need the time and the, you know, the skills and capacity to go, okay, well, how am I going to get to engage that child and give them something that they, it's really authentic that they can do and demonstrate their learning and understanding.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is just a selfish question for me, but when you go to the education department, is there certain people for the special schools? Is there a certain person for the SDSs? Is there a certain people for funded kids in mainstream, or is it one person?
Look, there is a whole section.
I hope so. I was just like, wow, that's so many differences. Like, how can anybody?
Yeah. Look, there is an executive director for inclusive education, and that broadly covers all students with disability.
Right.
And then obviously there is a particular focus on those in specialist settings, those with the program with students with disability funding, and those students are split across mainstream schools and special schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, got it. Thank you. That was just my little question popped into my head. Knowing that there'd have to be a pretty big day, but I was just interested. Because they're all very different settings.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
Yeah, but sometimes the issues are similar and sometimes they are really different. But we are always about, I mean, I think one of the things I reflect on is that for the parents that started our organisation, children with disability didn't even have the right to attend the local mainstream school.
Yes.
You know, these things have changed.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Choice.
There are now, they do have rights, and there are they're established in legislation, and they're the things that we can always just keep coming back to. Doesn't matter what school they're at, doesn't matter what type of disability they have, these are the rights that these children have.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, important.
Beautiful.
Work.
Amen.
What is your dream for the future for your association?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I like to refer to us that we're kind of boutique. You know, we're not about to be, we don't actually want to be really big, because in fact that would, I think, indicate that there's, you know, even more issues. And in fact, you know, we are about connecting people with each other to advocate for their own child and support each other in that. So I think our boutique little size, being really nimble, being really responsive to what the issues are right now, that's really key.
Yes.
I think we've got a place. Like, I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
And I think actually that focus on children is so key. You'd never know that 50% of NDIS participants are children.
Yes.
You look at the NDIS website and the discussions about the NDIS, it's often very adult focused.
Yeah, it is, actually. I didn't think about that.
Either have I.
Yeah,
even
though
I've got two children's plans in my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even teenage actually, language, even speak about it as a teenager. Yeah.
Yes. So, that importance of just always going, actually, come on, these are children and families who need to communicate differently for that. I think that's really important.
Yes.
We are just going to be there, just really championing that.
Oh, thank you on behalf of my family.
Yeah.
Even my husband got his back today. He's got a hearing loss and he has had his plan approved. And I've been in this system for, 3 or 4 years? And I said, I still don't know what this means. He's like, oh, well, you'll know what this means. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a dud. So we've got, that's for me, I have a support coordinator. I can't manage it on my own. It's just the sort of person I am. I wish I could, but I can't.
No, you've got enough on your plate.
Yeah, I know, but other people can do it. And then I think, why can't I? But it's because
it's because you're running a really successful podcast.
Well, you know.
But a good support worker is worth their weight in gold.
Yes. Like that, oh, my gosh.
Can really help your child's plan. And I would just like to say, even if you don't have support coordination right now, this is one of the changes the NDIS has made because of the pandemic. You can now get a support coordinator.
Oh, right. Oh, so even if it wasn't approved. That's amazing. Please hear that.
Yeah.
Go and get them.
Yeah.
So go and get them. So speak to these lovely acronyms, speak to your local area coordinator, or just ring the NDIS hotline and select 5 for their COVID
planners. Yeah, great. That's helpful.
That came with hand signals that didn't really go anywhere.
5.
Don't worry. I'm using my hands all the time. No one can see them.
And also they have said that we are eligible for iPads and maybe even some fitness equipment, I've been told.
That's right. So you can, if you if your child needs an iPad to access the telehealth, so those sessions yep. with the speech therapist, I think you can purchase that as part of your child's plan.
Yes.
Again, you do need to get just the sign off from your local area coordinator or ICHI coordinator.
Yep.
But there's now like a line item in plans and things like that. So it's definitely possible to do it. Of course, schools are also providing laptops and iPads yes. for families that don't have them for everyone in the family. So, and I think some schools have been so responsive with that. So I think really, speak to your child's school as well. That's always helpful.
Yeah, that's good. That's helpful to hear that. But even like the iPad for just say everyone goes back to school, doing their telehealth after school or on the weekends, that, you yes. know, it's. I remember asking for an iPad 3 years ago and they said nope.
Nope. Yep.
And I just thought, what do you mean no? This is the biggest deal.
Yep.
And I was just, I just felt despair because I thought this is yeah. actually would have been a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And instead we bought it, we found the money, that's okay. But I'm glad it's happening. I want everyone yeah. to go and get one right now.
Yeah. And I think as well, even though school might go back, a lot of the doctors and yes. appointments may still stay on telehealth.
That's right.
Because we had a pediatrician appointment via telehealth this week. And he was saying to my boys, I'm doing this to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming in contact with hospitals where there may be corona. So telehealth may stay for months.
Yes,
after all this, like not that our life's going to go back to normal, but after school goes back. So the iPad is still going to be really important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think you're right, telehealth will continue for quite some time. Mm. There is also one other change that the NDIS has announced, which is that if you've got funding in capacity building, so those things that do pay for therapy,
yep.
it is possible at the moment to shift some of that into core, which is where you can then get a support worker to come into the home.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I mean, for some families where you've only got capacity building, it might feel like a really difficult decision. Do I want to reduce that speech
yes.
for the time being? But if that's what's going to work best for your child right now and for you as a family, have someone come in for a few hours a week. It is a bit of respite for you as a family, but it's also obviously another adult for your child to engage with and either do some play activities or even some of their learning activities. So people should definitely
think about that. I cannot talk more highly about having a support worker in our family. I can't. She has changed our lives. She comes and I just want to kiss her when she walks through the door.
Yeah. And because she's doing lots of schoolwork, isn't
she? Yeah, she's helping my Molly with her schoolwork so that I can be troubleshooting with my 9-year-old and helping the twin and making food that they won't eat. I don't know, but and I've been able to find a little bit more money to have her a little bit more at this time, and I'm speechless about what the difference that's made. And it is something for I know friends that don't have support workers that are eligible for them, and I know it's a big deal to have someone in your house, and it's a big deal to trust someone. So I get that. But if and when you can find one, they're life-changing.
Oh, yeah.
So if I can give a little plug, we have done a 2-page fact sheet just to how to go about finding a support worker.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Beautiful.
And just how to structure your plan. So that is just on our website.
And we'll put a link to your website in our show notes.
It's acd.org.au. I've got it up here while I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, I also follow you on Facebook. I do like to comment every now and then.
Yes. Well, I think it's one of the few clubs that Mandy and I are members of together.
Yes, well, there you go.
You can like each other's comments.
Well, that's okay. I'm all right.
And is this association Australia-wide or is it specific to Victoria?
We are Victorian. So we've got a sister organisation, Association for Children with Disability, down in Tasmania.
Oh. Yes.
And we've sort of got some cousins in New South Wales.
Tell us all their names.
So in New South Wales, there's Family Advocacy New South Wales.
Right.
And then in Australia, there is Kalparin.
Right.
Okay. Which is based at the Royal Perth Children's Hospital.
Oh, right. Terrific.
Right. Well,
so they are both great organisations, well worth connecting with.
Thank you. Yeah. And there's a small fee, isn't there?
It's not much.
Actually, you know what? We've gone free.
I think that's right. Yes.
We are, because you know what? We are... We are government funded, and that is fantastic. It's fantastic. We are funded partly by the Education Department.
Oh, awesome.
So we
well, congratulations on that. That's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're able to run workshops around advocating for child at school, funded by the Education Department.
Oh, so
that's a great thing.
Maybe Kate and I should come.
We should.
You're paying for us. Ha ha.
So we are, you know what, we are open to all families with children with disability in Victoria, children aged 0 to 18. So we're just like, you know what, some of that membership theme thing, it was actually more took more time to organise than it
Yes, I'm sure.
We went, oh, let's just simplify that. Yeah.
Yep.
And so how often does the magazine come out?
We do a monthly email newsletter.
Oh, email. Okay, sorry. It used to be the magazine. Yeah.
We've gone, you know, email now.
Yeah, sure.
Fair enough.
Got it. Yep. Yeah, you have to.
That comes out at the start of each month. And as you say, on Facebook, we post really regularly, particularly at this time. You know,
yes.
Just what are some of these announcements? What does that mean in terms of the NDIS or in terms of education? And we just got the accurate information straight up there.
Yes, yeah. Well done.
Never
thank
have
you.
We been so information-seeking in our lives, I don't think. Just what's this announcement mean today? What does it mean for my family? What does it mean for the NDIS? So, yeah, thanks for keeping it updated.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, because I know I can trust you guys to tell me what's really happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we take that really, you know, that responsibility really clearly. And that is our job. And we've got a great team of people we've got one person reviewing the NDIS website every day and one reviewing health information and one reviewing education. So we've got that team, and therefore we're able to do this.
Oh, wow. Well, I could not review those websites every day.
It's not your skill.
It's not my skill.
Have we missed anything, Karen, that you would love to say about ACD?
Look, it's been so great to talk about it. Look, I do we'd love people to follow us on Facebook because they will get the latest information there.
Yes.
Particularly at this time of learning from home, we have heard some options that some schools are providing around attending sort of scheduled days, so not every day but some days, and that being sort of shared amongst students. We've heard options of siblings being able to attend school. We've heard of teachers ringing one-on-one to provide, you know, that learning support to students. So those things are happening, and sometimes you do need to sort of pick up the phone and ask.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't happen, feel free to contact either ourselves or the Department of Education also have a parent advice line, and sometimes that can just help keep things moving, you know, making sure that your child's school's doing those things as well.
Yeah. Mm. I was saying to Mandy before, it's been a game changer for us. So our school has an amazing curriculum support area, and they've just completely changed Buzz and Woody's program. Everything's been modified, and then they'll do a Zoom meeting on Microsoft Teams, but only with 3 or 4 kids in it and their ed support teacher that they trust and know, because they won't speak up in the other groups or answer questions or don't even want their face on the screen. But this person that they know and trust, and that has just been this week has been so much better because it's been, you know, everything's been modified and finally they're on a level playing field with everybody else.
Yes.
And it's just the relief in the whole family, it's palpable. You can feel it. So it's taken 2 weeks of phone calls, but it's really powerful once it works.
Yep, absolutely. And I think our message always to families is it's okay to ask.
Yeah.
You know, we always try and do it respectfully. We're part of a school community, but it is always okay to ask and say, hey, I've heard this is happening somewhere else. Can we have a go at this?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because sometimes it gives people ideas.
Yeah.
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 I was just speaking to a friend before who's just was in tears about her funded kids just, you know, having a very hard time, and it's awful to hear your friend feeling so in despair.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, well, maybe she needs to give you a call.
Yes, I think I'm going to suggest it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please do. We're really happy to speak to anybody in that situation.
Yeah, fab. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been so fab talking to you. We haven't finished, of course, because we've got to go through our...
Laugh Cry Made a Difference. Have you got any of those, Karen?
Look, in terms of the pandemic, I cried when they shut the South Australian borders because my family live in South Australia, my mum and my sister. It was just the thing that made me go, oh, my gosh, you know, when you can't see your family. So and even thinking about it, I'm like, oh, when are they going to reopen the South Australia?
Because we just take for granted that we can live a distance apart, but we can get there.
Uh-huh.
And I never thought of a time that I wouldn't be able to fly somewhere and see someone I loved, but we can't.
So that was my cry moment. Look, I did laugh yesterday when I was going for a walk with my son, and he's great at what we call villain spotting. So he saw someone waiting at the tram stop and he said, oh, he looks just like those robbers in Home Alone. I think we should cross the road. And I just love those moments, like, because you've had a bit of a difficult day and everyone's feeling a bit poor. And then you just laugh.
And then they just come out with a ripper. I mean,
they really do.
They did. This guy did look like one of the robbers from Home Alone.
Oh, dear.
Your villain spotting's always good.
Oh, did anything make you cry, Mandy?
I watched Afterlife too.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, my goodness. I think there were 7 episodes. I just watched them all day last Sunday. I ignored everyone in the family. I didn't care.
Good.
And I just watched episode after episode after episode, and it was just as good as the first one.
Was it?
Yes.
Yay.
And it was just I'm not really good at summing things up, so I'm just going to say I laughed really loud and then I cried really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and perfect. I thought it was just another – work of art.
It's just he has a gift of the joy and the sadness and the joy and the sadness and roller coaster. Like he's unbelievable, Ricky Gervais.
So Afterlife 2, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Afterlife 1, go and watch that.
Yeah, you're
some
in
people
for
might not be in the mood for it, and that's okay.
Yeah, I know Bryony P was like, I didn't feel it. So that's okay.
Yeah, I'm interested in the people that don't feel Afterlife.
Yeah.
I'm interested in them more than I am myself.
I'm like, why?
I need to know why people don't get it, because I just feel like I understand everything that's going
same.
On.
I just love it. But I haven't listened because in our house we've got rules. And if something we've been waiting for ages, then I have to wait for number one daughter and scholarship and myself to all be free at once.
I don't like those rules.
I don't like it either.
No.
But it's just I don't even know how it started, but that's how it is. So
okay, fair enough.
One's got a uni thing and one's got something else. Even though we're not going out, we
still
find it really
busy.
Hard. Because everyone's working at night when Buzz and Woody are in bed.
Yes, that's right. What made you cry, Kate?
So I didn't have a massive crying week, which was really nice. I've probably had the best week since we started lockdown.
Yes,
I think that's because school has been handled. But I did have a few tears watching the stress of watching my boys in a Microsoft Teams meeting having to answer questions. And even though people can't see them, the tears just rolling down their cheeks because they have to speak in front of that class.
Oh.
And I think the teacher thinks they're doing the right thing by including them.
Yeah.
But actually it's brutal. And what the teacher can't see is that number one daughter's writing down all the answers for them to say, just so they feel included and can do the work as quick as everybody else. But it does make you cry.
Yes.
But we got through it and, now they're just cuddled up on the iPad.
Perfect. As most of them are.
As most of them are. Did you see that thing? I put it on our Instagram story. It was like parents now saying that, what was the equation? It was like 1 hour of screen time is equal to 1 hour of screen time or something. You know, you're just on there the whole time.
That's right. We're all just fine with it.
Yeah. And did you have a make a difference, Karen?
Look, maybe I'll talk about our organisation, because what we want to do is that children with disability and their families enjoy the same rights and opportunities as all other children. And you know what? It sounds kind of a big thing, but actually we're just trying to do that in lots of little ways every day.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's all we want.
Yes.
That's it. So it's a little thing and a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about you, Mandy?
I've had a whole lot of birthdays. So I had a friend turning 40, a friend turning 50, my husband's birthday, my nephew, my niece, my brother's tomorrow. And so even just dropping around a present to their gate.
Yes.
You know, or just, I don't know, it's been joyful to just have some of those things to celebrate over their fence.
Yeah, breaking up the monotony.
Yeah, or just at their door.
Yeah.
Or trying to think, how can we make this person feel a bit special during this time?
Yeah, because it's hard.
You know, it's the first time my husband's been home all day on his birthday, you know, working and just it was relaxed.
Yes.
And we weren't rushing to meet families and all that sort of stuff, and we just sort of had a nice relaxed day together. Yeah. So, I don't know, it was good to think about people outside of our family even.
Helping people.
Yeah, and how could we just do a little thing to say to them that we appreciate them?
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I've got two. The first one is a friend of mine owns a winery in the Yarra Valley and it's called Yarra Peaks.
Uh-huh.
And he messaged me and said, I've heard that you haven't really been having the peaks for your business. You've been having more of the troughs.
Yes.
I said, yes, I have. Poor little instant impression he's in a trough.
Yes.
And he said, well, I'm dropping you off some peaks. And he dropped me a dozen bottles of wine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Yarra Peaks was one of my make a differences.
Oh,
yeah,
big beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And he said, I can repay him with a hug post-pandemic.
Great.
So it's pending.
Oh, that's nice.
And the other make a difference was scholarship turned 19.
Mm.
And my best friend Rachel was there at her birth. And so she always makes her Anzac biscuits because scholarship's birthday is Anzac Day.
Yes.
And she came and we stood in the driveway and she stood outside the gate and handed over the Anzacs and we took a photo and it was really lovely.
Yes.
Because it's a short amount of time you can be together, but it's just so lovely to see people.
Yes.
And yeah. So that was definitely my make a difference. Oh. And they were beautiful Anzacs.
Were they?
Yes, she makes a really good one.
Does she? She's a good baker.
She is, yeah. So, and what about laugh? Well, you've had your laugh, Karen, with baddies.
Don't be greedy, even though I am.
You can
always
have
do about five.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You go, Kate.
Okay, so I have got a few laughs. I've been laughing a lot because
it feels better.
Yeah, it does feel better. But the first laugh was, so on our website you can go and record a speak pipe.
Yes.
And people can, and so I try and listen to them before the podcast.
Yep.
And normally I have my headphones on, but there was no one around, I didn't think. And so I was listening to it and then Woody was actually on the couch, right? And so I'm listening and, of course, the person talks for like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And he just sits up and he goes, who is she actually talking to and why didn't she let anybody answer her? He thinks I'm on the phone and this person's just blah, 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 blah and not giving me a break.
For 90 seconds.
Yeah.
How cute.
That's what made me laugh a lot.
Very
and
cute.
The other thing was we did our telehealth with beautiful Shane, who we love, our paediatrician.
Only 2 minutes late.
Only 2 minutes late. That's the least amount of time I've ever waited.
Sorry, Shane, but it has to be said.
It does have to be said. And he was going on this sort of talking about three ways of remembering your learning, right? So this is one way and another way and another way. Anyway, it was taking a long time. And so Buzz just mid-sentences goes, and for number three, Shane?
He was winding him up.
And Shane was killing himself laughing. And the other thing was that for some insane reason, and once stuff like this has been said, it's out there, and I know people believe it of me, but Shane said to the boys, and what do you think you could do to make school a bit easier for your mum?
Oh.
Yeah, which was so lovely.
Goodness.
And to which Buzz said, oh, look, we just give her beers, and then she's really relaxed and lets us do whatever we want.
Oh, not true.
I don't even drink beer, very rarely.
Awesome answer.
I thought, well, it'd be true. I'd be like, I don't care about school. But why would you say that to the pediatrician? And then we all laughed for a long time.
I know. That's brilliant.
Yes. So What made you laugh?
Mine was last night. We were watching MasterChef and Millie and I are watching, and I'm spending some time with her doing that in the evenings.
Yep.
Even though I do really want to watch Lego Masters, but she really loves MasterChef, so I'm spending time with her. Anyway, one of the contestants very earnestly said they had a mystery box.
Yes.
You know what that means.
Yep.
Anyway, and she says, her name's Sarah, "Oh, I've just always wanted to work with duck esophagus."
Oh!
And we just couldn't stop laughing after that. And I just kept saying to Millie, "Oh, but I just can't wait to get duck esophagus once the pandemic's over." We just kept saying it all night.
It's been a dream of mine for years to work with duck esophagus.
Anyway, then Molly comes in, "Esophagus, esophagus." She, you know, "You can't say esophagus." And then Millie was like, "So what's duck esophagus made of?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe it's like a muscle." And she's like, "Is it cartilage? Because if you're like, if I've got an esophagus and it has to cope with corn chips, then it has to be pretty tough." And it just was one of those.
So was it a learning lesson?
It was a learning lesson, and it was quite hilarious. And in the end, she ended up burning the duck esophagus anyway.
Oh, no.
But
she ruined her dream.
And then Millie was like, "Where do you get ducks from to cook?" She goes, "Do you just go to Ringwood Lake and get them out?"
No.
I was like, "No, you don't get them from Ringwood Lake."
The butcher.
Anyway, it was just fun and funny. And gosh, I love laughing with teenagers when they're witty.
They're the best.
And, you know, I've just enjoyed that time with her.
No, good.
When she's kind of the last that gets my attention.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So good.
Good. See, we're still laughing peas.
Yeah, we can still find the joy.
Yep, we can.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that is it for our episode for this week. Thank you so much, Karen, for taking the time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you both.
Thank you, Karen. I'm just, so joyful to hear you and to know you're a pea heading the best pea organisation.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
No. We maybe will see you one day post-pandemic. You can come to one of our live shows.
If we ever do it. Front row. We'll give you a free ticket even.
Front row.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.